from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When we're in studio, you know it's big, the Behind the U podcast, and it does not get any bigger than this on this campus right now. The acting president of the university, Joe Echevarria. My friend, thank you. It is a pleasure seeing you.
Thanks for having me.
Born and raised in the Bronx, how did it become young Joe Echevarria looking at college, deciding that you are a UM grad, that you wanted to come south and come here, and this is where you wanted to spend your 4 years?
You don't have days and days for this answer, do you, Josh?
Well, I have plenty of time. You, I do not believe, have as much time.
Well, quickly, you know, I was an inner city kid from the South Bronx, Puerto Rican by background. And there was some terrific programs around what then was called affirmative action. It's not called it anymore, but it was at the time. And they were looking for minority children to go to college. And I was one of those fortunate individuals. The program did all the work. They gave you all the options. And they sort of steered you where the opportunities were. And I walked this beautiful campus sometime in the, I would say it must have been the early summer that year that I first came down here. So when I walked the campus, it was, again, it was been back in, I started in 74, so it probably was 73 at the time.
It's a good year, by the way.
Yeah, it was a fantastic year for me. Yeah. Changed my life. I picked this school because I had never seen anything that looked like paradise to me. And that's what I first thought of when I walked the campus of the University of Miami.
And that's when the hook was in you, because you are, this is a super significant and meaningful place to you, not only in your job, but like you love this place.
It has altered my course of my life. I came here when I was 50 years ago, as I've said before. It's just serendipity that the number happens to be 50, but it's exactly 50. I walked on the campus in August of 1974. And it changed my life trajectory. I was a 17-year-old kid at the time. That was 50 years ago.
My goodness. Now, you are very publicly present at University of Miami athletic events, as you were the CEO, Board of Trustees, now you're the president. But did your love affair, because the athletic world back then was not the same here. So did that love affair start then as a student?
Well, the love affair with athletics.
Correct.
Starts by being an inner city kid from the Bronx. We played all the sports outside, the conventional sports at the time. Remember, I'm going back to the 60s.
We played some stickball?
Stickball we played. We played all the major sports. I keep saying the major sports. It's the four major sports at the time.
Right.
Which was baseball, hockey, basketball, and football. And it was actually mainly pro football at the time that we followed. But there wasn't much college football in New York, believe it or not, in the boroughs. College football in New York City, the famous team was, believe it or not, it pains me to say this, man, was Notre Dame. Because they had the exposure and the visibility at the day. I still remember running around saying Theismann for Heisman as a kid. So anyway, it started then. So when I came to the University of Miami, I was a sports kid, played baseball. So I love sports. I think somebody asked me, what are my hobbies? And I said, well, I love my kids and I love sports. And that's what I do. So it's always been in my blood.
Once you left here, that's almost a few years, Howard Schnellenberger's probably coming as you're going, I think, right around there.
No. Howard, yeah, well, maybe. You're right, because Howard came in the early 80s.
I think he came like 70, started in 79 on that trajectory. Yeah. So he's coming as you're going. So did you kind of reattach yourself as the pro, that first championship and then on with Jimmy? And did you sort of, was there ever a detachment, retachment, or you just were with the program the whole way?
No, it was never detachment. When I started my professional career, I became an accountant. I think, Josh, as you know, I worked in a firm here, a fabulous firm called, today it's called Deloitte. I went to all the sporting events. I went to baseball games. Believe it or not, we didn't have basketball at the university at the time. We had stopped it. So when I was in college, there was no basketball. But I'd gone to baseball games. I'd gone to football games. The firm had season tickets to UM games, and I would buy it through there. So I've been going to college football games since 1974 here. Even when I moved to New York for a decade or so, I still came back to football games here.
After college, you're working here in Miami?
Correct.
Then up to New York? That's like at like the corporate office, I guess, or something like that for Deloitte, which is like a national, international.
Yeah, it's a global firm.
Monstrous Fortune 500 company, yes?
Well, it's private, but yes, it would be a Fortune 500 if it was measured that way. But fundamentally, just I think of easy math when I do things, 50 years. So I spent 40 years in the firm called Deloitte, round numbers, not exact. 20 years was in Miami. The first 20, the second 20 were up north, back and forth, traveling in the middle in the region. So 20, 10, and 10. 20 local, 10 traveling. 10 in New York. In all that 40 years, two things I followed professionally and sports-wise was the University of Miami and the New York Yankees.
Those are your loves.
Those are the loves of my sports life.
So do you remember where you were January 1st, 1984, Miami, Nebraska, in the Orange Bowl?
I was in the stadium.
Yes.
Okay. Where? In the stadium, praying that then unknown person, meaning I didn't know he was going to make the play, that Kenny Calhoun deflects that ball from Jeff Smith. And the irony of that day is we had tickets through my firm at the time, and we were in my mind on the opposite side of the stadium that we are in the current configuration.
Got it.
In the old Orange Bowl. And for me, what I remember is, and I'm Catholic, I remember when they were going for that two-pointer, first of all, I was shocked that they did it, but I guess that's what real people were confident do at the time. To me, I just couldn't believe we were there. Remember, I had gone, my last time of going to the Swamp was for that season. I went to the first game that
year. We lost.
We lost 28-3.
Yeah.
It was Bernie's.
I think it was his first start, right?
First start, I believe. I went there, a bunch of us guys drove up and around. We went to the game. And it was the most miserable experience I had ever had. But if they told me we'd win 10 straight and win the national championship, I would have taken it.
Every day.
But so I remember sitting there in the stadium and on that particular play. Remember, that game went back and forth. We got off to a fast start. They caught up. That was the Fumbleroski game. They catch up. We get ahead again. They catch up again. We weren't supposed to be there. Everything had to line up for us on that day. We were like number 5 in the country, I recall. And everybody ahead of us had to lose except for Nebraska. We controlled that. And if they tie, they probably win. I remember I prayed, just let us have this one win. I'll never ask you again. Well, that turned out to not be true.
I was about to say.
I did that at least 30, 40, 50 more times. Because I remember the games we didn't win more than the games we won. So that's where I was that day. I still remember the 58 games at the Orange Bowl. I remember the game I didn't go to was the Washington game. I had a wedding. We lost that game. Broke the streak in the Orange Bowl. I'll never forgive myself for that. So I remember all of it like it was yesterday. I could put baseball in there if you wanted. I could put the beginning of basketball with Coach Foster down at the Knight Center.
How much does that fuel your involvement and how you've been actively sort of have you shaped the football program the last few years, not only as a Board of Trustees member, but what you did to kind of shape where we are now, your desire to have those moments again?
Well, first of all, it is a privilege to be now serving the institution called the University of Miami. We do three things extraordinarily well at high levels. We can never forget what we're about. We're fundamentally about education, research, and taking care of our patients. The brand of the institution is carried by all those three, plus athletics. The university is going to be 100 years old next April. Athletics, football, baseball, they're fundamentally about 85 years that they've been in existence. They weren't there at the very beginning. And so the 50 years that I've been part of the university, they've been a significant part of the institution. So I hold all those dimensions at the same level. Academics really is important. What our faculty do is extraordinarily important. Our research is extraordinarily important. We're a member of the AAU, which is the Association of American Universities. We're the top 69 research institutions in the United States, a prestigious award we have. We take care of patients, and we do a lot of world-class patient care downtown. And athletics is part of our brand. So I'm passionate about all four dimensions. equally. This conversation is about the athletic componentry
yes.
of it. But if I was sitting somewhere else, if I was downtown at Sylvester or Bascom or at the UHealth Tower, I'd be talking about patients. So I shape athletics, my participation in it, the same thing. Excellence. Excellence in everything we do. Athletic excellence on the field is easy to figure out because there's a score being kept of some kind, and there's a whole bunch of people judging the performance. It's an incredible opportunity and an incredible challenge, so I feel for that. So my view of athletics is no different than my view of our academic core, no different than our research patients. We want to be excellent at the people we serve, whether they're our students, our researchers, our patients, or our fans. We want to be excellent. And my responsibility in that is to serve those populations and put us in the best position to be excellent. I don't teach classes, really, substantively. I don't do research. I'm not a researcher. And I'm not a doctor. I don't take care of patients. I also don't coach up players or form teams. I have to create opportunities for all four of those things to be incredibly successful. That's the way I think about my university. It is a powerful institution. I'm looking at the big U behind you. When I went to school, that wasn't a thing, the U. But it is now, and came from a 20-year magical period in athletics. I remind people that the 5 football and the 4 baseball national championships we won happened in the same 20-year period of time.
Speaking of people, you selected a man, Mario Cristobal, to lead our football program. Why was he the guy? Like, you get involved in that, and he becomes the guy that's the right person. As you said, it's about the people.
Yeah, and I think that the group of individuals that were involved in that, I was just one of several. I think for all the reasons that he's understood the program, I think that's important. I do think everybody thinks their program is unique, because when I talk to someone from OSU or from Texas or from USC, everybody believes their program's unique, and they're not wrong. It is unique. But understanding our uniqueness, I think, is important. Understanding the community that we're in, what we expect, I think that matters. It's a high bar of expectations. Some might say outsized, given our performance in the 100 years versus just the 20 years.
Right.
Because there is a gap there. And nevertheless, we just thought he was the right person at the right time, given who he was as a person and what he stood for in terms of excellence and character and the commitment. And we knew it wasn't going to be quick, at least I did. And I think we all believe this was going to take time. And we needed to get better year by year, ultimately to land at the place we all want to be, which is excellence.
You're well-versed in leadership. You've hired leaders. You are a leader. You're a leader of this institution. You're a leader of in your corporate position. How much of that leadership was important in Mario, because he was going to be leading this program that meant so much to the school?
Yeah, again, I'll speak for me. There were many people involved.
Well, you're the only one I got.
I got to be clear. I'm speaking on behalf of myself.
Yes.
There were others who may say it differently, may feel differently, who were equally, if not more, involved, including our president, former president, Julio Frank. For me, you know, personally, leadership, you know, boils down to a couple of things. You got to be high integrity. You can't compromise integrity and values. You just can't. It sounds very cliche-ish, but it's actually true, because everybody watches you and what you do and how you do it. You have to be passionate about what you do.
Well, that box was checked pretty quick, right?
It's got to happen, right? You have to be passionate about what you do. One of the things that's often understated about leaders is leaders have a bias to action. They act. Sometimes there's a lot of analysis and talking and discussion, but it takes a bit of courage to act. So we wanted people who had a bias to action. We wanted people who could finish. Finishing is really hard in life. Everybody who gets a January 1st idea what they're going to do, right? Resolution. A lot of resolutions happen on January 1st. How many actually get acted on and finished? The professional world's no different. Starting is a lot easier than finishing. Finishing, it's done. I got there. I accomplished it. Not halfway, not some of the part. Finishing was important. He felt like a finisher to us. And you got to have the right attitude for people. Because like I said before, all we have is people. And people have to want to follow you or be led by you or be with you. And if you look back and nobody's following you, then you're not really leading anything, are you? So it was a lot of things. You can distill it down. Everybody's got leadership things that they look at. Those are some of the things I look at. And that's why I always get back to the people, Josh.
Acting president of the university, a good friend, Joe Echevarria, on the Behind the U podcast. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for what you do, Josh.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.